Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Carl Mathias, the U.S. Marshals Service's Assistant Director for IT and Chief Information Officer. Carl, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jason.
So it's been 7 years since I had someone from the Marshals Service on my program. There's a lot of ground to cover, but I'm going to start at the beginning. You've only been CIO since January, so let's get to know you a little bit, talk a little bit about your background. How did you end up coming to the Marshals Service?
I spent 28 years in the Air Force. I was 20 years active duty, retired as a lieutenant colonel, then spent the next 8 years in the civil service. So variety of experiences over that time. I started out as a computer programmer, system analyst, went on to eventually earn my PhD, go teach graduate school for the Air Force, became a military advisor in Saudi Arabia, did a deployment to Bosnia, had all kinds of good times. Eventually retired, came here to the DC area and was the 844th Communications Squadron commander and then the deputy CIO of Headquarters Air Force. When this job came open, I got to tell you a little background here about myself. I grew up out west in Idaho, and I had a father who really liked to go out to old mining towns, ghost towns, things like that. And you got to understand, out west, U.S. Marshals are a thing of legend. So when this job came open, I could not resist applying for it. As I will tell you a piece from my interview, part of that I said, who wouldn't want to join the U.S. Marshals? So I love this job. It's a great opportunity. I'm glad they selected
me. So career in the Air Force, even as a civilian, big learning curve coming to the Marshals? Or do you get a sense that because IT is IT is IT, that really cuts down on what you need to do? It's all about the mission that is really the big learning curve.
The mission's the learning curve. It's very interesting to come here. There have been times I said all I needed to do was change the plaque outside my door, because at the Pentagon we're working on rolling out mobility solutions. I come here, we're working on rolling out mobility solutions at the Pentagon and Department of Defense. We're consolidating data centers. I come here, we're consolidating data centers. So a lot of similarities from an IT perspective. Same challenges, same kinds of problems. The mission is where the differences lie, and that's where most of my learning has had to occur. However, I'll say this. Department of Defense and law enforcement share a lot of similarities in that the people are exceptionally dedicated to the mission, and so in that respect, it's very similar.
From a CIO's perspective, a lot of times when a new deputy secretary or secretary or administrator or director comes in, they go do a kind of a tour of the facilities and go around the country. Did you end up doing that, or most of the facilities for the Marshals Service in the D.C. area, generally speaking?
The answer is yes. I have gone around and looked at facilities, but the main thing I've done is I like to really connect with my customers and understand what are their challenges. So I've made it a point, whether I'm on personal leave or sometimes as official travel, to make visits out to the districts. So I've done things like go out to some of the border districts to see what their challenges are, because they see a lot of activity there. To go to the local districts here and to go to Superior Court, for example, see what their challenges are. So, I've been on leave. I've visited Columbus, Ohio, Lexington, Kentucky. I do what I can to see what their challenges are, and that's where I'm learning the most.
The key word I heard there was customers, and a lot of times when I talk to CIOs, there's a focus on that customer service. How do I meet my customers' needs? Talk a little bit about the makeup of your office. Are you shifting in that direction, or have you already shifted in that direction? And talk a little bit about your IT budget, if you can, and federal employees versus contractors. How is your office organized?
CIO 101. This is what I tell my staff all the time. Our mission is the organization's mission, okay? So we often joke about the shiny new toys out there. If you look at the mission of the Marshals Service, that mission is to protect, defend, and enforce the American justice system. That is our mission. Nowhere in there does that mission say host data centers, provide cloud capabilities, things like that. So this is a tough thing for my staff to hear, but I tell them this, is that, you know, like it or not, while we are a mission enabler, anything we're spending on IT is overhead compared to what we're trying to do as the mission. So we need to always have that mission in our mind. So here's what that comes down to in terms of what I've done with the organization. First, the rules of my approach. Number one, my top priority is service availability. okay? If we're not providing core services to our customers, and that's the deputy U.S. Marshals, the task force members, and their staffs in the districts, then I'm not doing my job. All right. Second thing is security of those services. And this is a close second, okay? This is not like one is way above the other. Those services have to be secure, and obviously recent events would illustrate why. And the third thing I emphasize is rigorous program management, so that if we're going to deliver new capabilities, that we can do this in a well-defined, predictable manner, stay on cost, stay on budget, stay on schedule. And so those are the things we're working on. I'm fortunate in that my predecessor CIOs had the same priorities and same attention to rigor and detail and been building up this office to do that. So this is just me continuing down the path.
I know, I'm going to jump in real quick. I know when you talk about rigorous program management, we're going to talk maybe about agile later. And security, there's always a discussion around security. Talk a little bit about the makeup of your office, contractors versus employees, budget, stuff like that.
Basically, I'm authorized 100 government positions, as you might guess. We never get that many, so right now I'm staffed at 85%. I have 150 contractors that support us here in the National Capital Region, and then we have about 200 that are not full-time contractors that do our break-fix support out in the 94 Marshall districts across the United States. So that's the basic makeup of the organization. Internally, we're organized into different branches. We have infrastructure management branch, service management branch. Those are typical IT asset management type activities. We also have a mobility branch, and we created this specifically to go out and go after those new capabilities that are coming available to us, you know, everything from iPhones to tablets to what can we visualize in the future. Then I have something that is somewhat unique, and that I have a program management office who specializes back to that rigorous program management discipline. And then unique to the Marshall Service is the Business Integration Center. And that is a branch that its whole purpose in life is to make sure that we within the Marshall Service and within Department of Justice are playing nice with each other, coordinating on our activities. Outside this, we would call this portfolio management, but it's kind of portfolio management on steroids.
Interesting, you kind of break down the different branches versus breaking them down by customer needs. For instance, you have a segment of customers, maybe court or field office. Is that something that you're thinking about or moving toward? Because a lot of CIOs, again, we'll look at their, what are their, if you will, their BRM, you know, going back to the enterprise architecture reference model, they start looking at what missions they're trying to meet and how can they put customer service people into those mission areas. Is that something that is done maybe behind the scenes, outside of the names that we see of mobility or we see out of, you know, infrastructure?
It is done behind the scenes. I don't organize internally along the business lines because the business lines can change. And so there are certain activities that we should just be doing as a CIO shop. And by the way, I didn't include security as one of those branches. Trust me, it's in there. But what we do to accommodate our lines of business is to ensure that we have technical representatives associated with those businesses. Sometimes they're actually embedded directly into them. For example, Prisoner Operations Division, we have two positions that are actually sit in that division to help understand, accommodate their needs, and put it through the process I've described whenever they need to have a requirement.
And just real quick, can you give us a sense of your budget or maybe a range of your budget? I know obviously it changes depending on people and projects and stuff like that.
The base budget for FY15 was $45 million. However, you need to realize that's coming out of our base appropriation. That can vary depending on what the different lines of business are doing and what they contribute from their appropriations for their activities.
Very nice. Now, I know we're going to hopefully maybe talk later about some savings you guys have found through the budget over the last few years, and that's, I think, key to every CIO. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's jump into some priorities. My guest today is Carl Mathias, U.S. Marshal Services Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Carl Mathias, the U.S. Marshals Service's Assistant Director for IT and Chief Information Officer. Now, Carl, before break, we just talked about your office a little bit, how you became CIO at the Marshals Service. Let's jump into your priorities. What are you looking to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
My job and my perspective on these things is kind of meat and potato stuff. Frankly, your listeners may find this a little boring, but one of the things I have to do, number one priority, make sure services are available to my customers. And so my actual biggest priority right now in the Marshals Service is to go out and find better ways to supply that service. And the two specific areas I'm looking at are IT service management and IT asset management. Specifically, what we're looking at is how can I improve my help desk operations? How can we reduce wait times, call abandonment times, improve first call resolution? We're asking questions like, should I be managing the help desk or should I be outsourcing the help desk? From the IT asset management, and this blends with service management, we have workstations spread all across the districts, but whenever one goes bad, we're sending people out to repair it. What I'm looking for is an improved approach to that model. And so, you know, is it an approach where we go to a depot-based approach, where rather than me sending somebody to repair it, they just box the thing up, send it to the depot ships them a new machine? Or do I go to a completely managed approach where I have a vendor come in and say, this is going to be our equipment, we will maintain it to the service levels you will provide, and you'll pay a fixed cost on the contract to do that. So we're looking at all those things, and my goal is, number one, don't take so long to get a machine fixed to the customer out in the field, and number two, see if I can do this in a more efficient, cost-effective way and save the taxpayer some money. So that's actually my top priority right there to work on. Obviously, we're working, and while I don't want to dive into the specifics, to enhance our security posture. And so we're going through several things there. We could talk later if you'd like about my general thoughts on these, but we're going into that. Mobility is big for us. So there's a couple initiatives there that are very important to us. We're rolling out iPhones across the enterprise this fall. We have a pilot in progress right now that is going very well. We'll start rolling to the entire enterprise in September and complete that in December. At the same time, we have tablets rolled out to key districts and one of the task forces, their Windows 8-based tablets. We're checking to see whether our deputy marshals and our staff out there find these useful and what is the use case for them. And at the same time, we're taking into account that law enforcement environment, because let's face it, as one of the marshals once told me, if he sees a room full of his deputy marshals, he knows something's wrong. He wants them out there in the field. That means those tablets are going with them, and that's a gritty, mean environment out there. We want to see what their survivability looks like. At the same time, I can't build, go to the really ruggedized ones because we can't afford them for everybody. So there's this cost-benefit thing we're looking at from a mobility perspective. Also, high priority for me is to reduce my infrastructure footprint. So we talk about going to the cloud quite a bit here. And this is where I could emphasize another priority, which is to partner with the Department of Justice wherever I can. And so even though I'm relatively new here, I talked to Joe Klimovich and asked him to let me get involved more with the CIO Council. So I'm one of the chairmen on the Enterprise Services Committee for that. We're looking for ways to not just get the marshals into the cloud, and specifically what I would like to do is get off our own exchange servers, move into a cloud-based email approach for us, or off core office services. But not just us, but the entire department as a whole. What service can we provide? What vehicles can we provide to make those kinds of things happen? So that's also a high priority. Last thing I'd mention here, and there are other priorities, but let me talk about something that's not even a CIO priority but is very important to me, is the Marshals Service is bringing on a chief data officer. Now, my boss, the Associate Director of Administration, David Mussel, and I talked about this, and we both agree that needed to be brought on at the corporate level, because this is Carl Mathias's opinion. It's a common error to have the CDO work for the CIO. I can't necessarily dictate to other division chiefs what to do with their data, but if you have that CDO up at the corporate level, they can. And data is a key asset in the Marshals Service. We want to use it, then make the most effect out of it. So that's a key initiative for the Marshals Service.
All right, there's a ton there. So I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning of your priorities and talk about the IT service management, IT asset management. It sounds to me like you're in the middle of maybe an IT strategy or some sort of acquisition / future forward strategy. When do you hope to make some decisions, and what's going into that decision, whether you go to a managed service, whether you go to a depot model, whether you do something else?
Back to this process we follow for how we do things. One of the things we do here is to conduct business process analysis and business case analysis for any project we're proposing. And so while this is my personal key interest, I am keeping my personal discipline to follow our own process. So we are conducting a business case analysis, going out doing market research, analysis of alternatives to determine what is the best approach. We expect to complete that this fall. I can't put a specific month on it yet, but my guess would be in the late September, mid-October timeframe, somewhere in there, as to, okay, this is the approach we want to take. And we will, as part of that BCA process, be doing market research. There'll probably be RFIs going out. So if you do hear from my BCA team as a vendor, you should respond to that. Don't take it lightly. We follow it religiously as far as that process goes.
Currently, do you get a sense of, and maybe this is part of the business case analysis, do you get a sense of how much money you're spending currently to do this upkeep, to send people out or get the help desk times? How long are they right now? I mean, what kind of shape, I guess, are things in?
We're functional. Well, I don't want to get into the specific numbers. It's higher than I like. And I think that part of it is because of the travel time of a technician there. You can find yourself in the position. I use this example of if I have to send somebody out, I could be spending more money on the travel than the machine is actually worth. And so we don't want to be in that position. We want to not do that. Now, I'm not saying that happens all the time, okay? But it shouldn't happen, period. So that's the problem we're going to solve here with this, and that's the approach. That's why we're after this.
Related to this as part of your priorities was email. It's a little surprising, I guess, that the email's not in the cloud yet, that you guys are still running your own Exchange servers. But at the same time, I guess there's also some sensitivities that you guys have to deal with and got to be more assured that the cloud, so to speak, whether it's a private or public or hybrid cloud, is secure and can secure your data. Is that been maybe the biggest reason why the Marshall Service hasn't moved yet to the cloud for email? Because, you know, when you talk about low-hanging fruit, that's what many CIOs talk to.
Actually, no, I don't believe that's it. It's really, it comes down to money, really. And what can we find cost-effective solutions to move to the cloud has been the real issue. Let me reach back to my Pentagon experience. I moved the Air Force at the Pentagon over to the DISA-provided solution. So that was, in essence, a cloud-based solution provided internally by the government. And there was a lot of those questions asked, you know, what would reliability look like? But in the end there, it also came down to, could we make a good cost argument? And in the end, we could. Not only was it cheaper for us to do it there, it was also more reliable. And so coming here, one of the things we're taking a long, hard look at is what's the true cost of running your own Exchange server? Because a lot of people just look at your license cost, but then don't consider the infrastructure cost, the refresh of that hardware, the personnel required to run that hardware. And when you total all those numbers up, suddenly the cloud's very competitive, and that's kind of the cultural shift we're making here, is to understand that and then, you know, do a real cost comparison to move over. So, and the department as a whole is looking at that.
And at the same time, as you're kind of going through that, what I've heard from CIOs over the last couple of years is, from a cost standpoint, maybe the cloud isn't cheaper. Maybe it's maybe even just a little bit more expensive, but you're able to take resources and move those resources from the mundane to the mission and get the mission IT and really focus on what matters to the agency. Is the cloud generally speaking, aside from email, something you guys also are starting to dip your toes into? Are you starting to put some, you know, public affairs apps in the cloud? Are you starting to put anything on maybe a private cloud that's a mission critical? Or where are you with that kind of thought process?
The Marshall Service, we really haven't gone there yet. Okay, what we've taken, the real first steps we had to take was into the data center consolidation arena, which was to get rid of our data centers and move into the consolidated centers of the Department of Justice. So that was really step one that had to occur. And right now we're on step two, which is I still own equipment sitting in those data centers. What I would like to do is to, if nothing else, stop owning that equipment instead of them hoteling my stuff, truly have a hosting service. Step three, I think, is for us to say, okay, now is there a FedRAMP certified cloud environment we can go to for some of these other activities? We're just not there yet, okay? But that's the direction we're moving. And once again, I can't say this often enough, I want to make sure I'm linking arms with the other components in the Department of Justice and with Department of Justice. We're not heading off doing our own things.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, there's more priorities for us to follow up on. My guest today is Carl Mathias, the U.S. Marshals Service's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Carl Mathias, the U.S. Marshals Service's Chief Information Officer. Now, Carl, before break, we were going through a list of your priorities. You have a lot going on. Your plate is full. One of the big ones that you talked about was mobility. In fact, you have a branch that is just called the Mobility Branch. So obviously, it's a huge focus area for you guys. You mentioned about you're in the middle of a pilot using iPhones, and you're hopeful to roll iPhones out across the department in the fall timeframe, September, December timeframe. And then you also mentioned about a tablet, I guess, pilot for using Windows 8. I'd like to find out more details about both. So let's start with the iPhone pilot. How many people are using it? And give me a sense of what they're using it for beyond, obviously, making calls and texting and doing the like.
What we've done is rolled those iPhones out to four districts, Marshall's districts. We've got a task force that's using them. And then we also have a local division here, our prisoner operations division, who's going to be using them. So I think that totals out. It's around 500 people that are going to be piloting these, trying them out. One of those people includes my own boss, the associate director for administration. So fortunately, the feedback we've been getting is that it's going extremely well. I think the long-term goal on having these mobile devices, if I could just straighten the comment for a second, is we want to put more capability in those marshals' hands out there. These people are out, as I mentioned before, working in the field, and so we want to be able to have a device there that they can not only access systems, get information on fugitives they may be chasing down, but if they're sitting out there on a watch trying to, for long periods, maybe we can pump training through that. They can watch if there's videos to watch, to do anything to keep them mobile, keep them out in the field, keep them on the mission. Also, we're looking at mobile fingerprinting technology. We've had several devices we've been trying with that. One of the ones that we are looking at does attach itself to an iPhone. Now, I know that people who have an iPhone 6, you go, wait, you've got that little button on there, you can stick your finger on it and do fingerprints. Well, okay, for legal purposes, we have to have a device a little more high resolution and accurate than that, just so in case you're asking yourself that question. But we are trying those out in the field. We're also eventually going to look to iris scanning technology, so that people can mutilate their fingerprints to make it difficult to identify them, more difficult to do that with your eyes. The main issue with iris scanning is getting the database of those, your retinas. So that's some of the things we're doing out there. And basically, so far, we're getting very good feedback on the iPhones. They really like them.
One thing about moving to a smartphone concept, whether it's an iPhone or whichever, even the tablets we'll talk about in a second, is your infrastructure prepared to handle the mobility piece? Because a lot of people say the mobility, the cloud, are kind of hand in hand. You move your applications, you upgrade them, you make them more, you virtualize them, you make them more mobile, friendly, and then as the employees go out into the field to do their jobs, they have access from their computer, from these smartphones and tablets in a much easier fashion. Is that something that, are you guys in the middle of those two things, meaning the app modernization, and then, but you're not quite there I guess the question is, how is that all working together so far?
Yeah, there's a definite coordination that has to occur. And so it was time to replace our cellular devices anyway. So that was one reason we went ahead and decided to head down this path. But to answer your questions specifically, yes, we're having to modernize our applications. And that needed to happen anyway. I didn't mention it as one of my priorities, but we are replacing our case management system. And so one of the key requirements in the new system is that it be mobile friendly. You need to be able to access the case information in the field on your device. And so when we've been looking at COT solutions to these kinds of things, that's one of the things we've been very interested in is, you know, how does it handle it on the mobile side? Do I have to do a lot of custom development if I'm going to put it to mobile, or is it naturally, if I develop it for the desktop, a mobile version is automatically there? You know, those are, you know, mobility is going to be everything for that system. But you're absolutely right. We're having to work through this modernization of our apps to think mobile.
This idea of the case management system, obviously there's a lot of them out there. FBI has them. I think DHS ICE and CBP have similar ones. Is that something, again, I know from experience that different law enforcement agencies, they don't necessarily meet the 80-20 rule, right? Where 80% you do is the same and the other 20% you customize. It may be even more of a 50-50 rule if you're lucky. What is the plan for the case management project? Is it already in the works, meaning you have a contractor or have you picked a system, or is that in the beginning stages?
We've been going on this for a while, and this is going to be a large project. So it is actually still in the business process analysis phase, where we are going through mapping out current business processes, developing requirements. I don't want to get too specific on some of this, but you know, there 2,000 requirements fell out of this and had to be consolidated down into, you know, aggregated up into 200 different main areas that then came into, I think it was 15 different general categories. So it's big, and it's still ongoing. We're going into the 2B phase of the business process analysis to say, what do we want this to look like now? So we're a ways off. I think that for those who are interested in when they may see acquisition activity, I would look early next year to spring of next year. Keep your eyes out in the various forums that announce those.
All right, something to follow up with you later in the year. I know a lot of vendors will be excited, so I apologize now for the emails and phone calls you're going to be getting. The Windows 8 devices, the tablets there, that seems to be on the newer side of the pilot phase, maybe even just rolling it out. Give me a sense of how big that pilot is, and are the users taking advantage of the tablets for a specific thing, or is it just, again, you mentioned, I think, earlier on, let's see what they could use it for and how it works and what kind of benefits they get.
This is a very small pilot. This is less than 100 devices. Well, what we did was we tied this to a separate project we have where we were profiling users to say, so we could determine what categories do they fit in. Specifically, what we're trying to find out is this user in a job where we need to give them both a desktop and a laptop? Are they in a job where they need a laptop? Are they in a job where they need a desktop? You know, and what are the things that surround them? And as part of that discussion, it came out, well, wait a minute, we have these deputy marshals who are in the field. What do they look like? And so they, you know, packing laptops, they're heavy. They lug them around. They break easily. You know, they get dirt in them. You know, it's as part of the job. So this is an examination to see how useful is this to them. We're also trying this on administrative staff. Once again, I'll mention my boss, who I love, who is also trying this, also giving me good feedback on that. So, you know, I'm not throwing him under the bus. He's one of our most feared testers, which is why we give him these things. So.
Well, this is a good thing. I mean, if you're going to make someone happy or make someone mad, let it be your boss. Was there a timing around this? I know that you talked about rolling out iPhones sooner, but the Windows 8 or tablets more generally, do you see that as a 2016 decision, meaning who gets them, how many they get, and which ones we go with? Maybe do you test other tablets as well?
I'd see this as a multi-year rollout. And what it's going to depend on is, you know, first, who fits the user profile of who would want one? We have some initial thoughts on that, but also, we have a normal tech refresh cycle, and so we would probably integrate it as part of that. It has to be part of that previous project I described as my number one priority, which is, hey, how am I going to do asset management in a way that makes sense? So I don't want to do something separate from that. I want to make sure this is integrated into it.
All right. Makes sense. And looks like something to follow up with you. The other priority you mentioned that was maybe an indirect priority is talking about the chief data officer. That's a trend I'm seeing across a lot of other agencies. And what's interesting is about half CDOs sit in the CIO's office and about half sit outside the CIO's office. And there's a mix, in terms of what people like and what fits for that agency. You guys, as you mentioned, made the decision for the CDO to sit outside the CIO office. Give me a sense of the status of that effort. Is someone going to be hired soon? And how are you going to work with that person?
We actually have someone identified and are in the process of bringing them on board and we're staffing them up. So they will have their own staff. They will work for the Associate Director of Administration here. So they will be at that corporate level, as I described previously. And what we're looking for them to do is take a comprehensive look at what information does, first of all, get a hold of what information we have. Second, establish firm data governance processes. It's easy at the technical level. You talk to us about data governance, we're going to say, oh yeah, it has to fit in 16 characters, it has to be alphanumeric, all that. But nobody's asked the hard questions, which is, what's the authoritative source for a name? What's the authoritative source for a fugitive or a person? Those are the questions that need to be asked at the CDO level. And then as a CIO, I'm the implementer, not just the implementer, but the implementer and the enforcer of these data governance / data management rules that they'll set up. But beyond that, that's kind of the baseline stuff. What we really want is the ability to take the data we have and use it effectively. So the Marshalls has made a major cultural shift in last few years to make decisions based on data, performance data. So, for example, we are in the middle right now here in early August of going through our quarterly performance reviews. So when we go through those, we come in with performance indicators, with metrics and things like that to say, here's decisions we've made, here's the outcomes of those decisions, here's where we want it to go. Well, the CDO can sit in that and look at that and then come up with ideas on how can we better use that data, how can we be predictive and eventually be prescriptive, come in and say, what can we do to get ahead of problems? So think of, let me give you an example. If we want to go out and do a major operation to get fugitives, to go after those warrants and pick up fugitives, what kind of data should we be using to go establish the best use of our task force? That's something the CDO can analyze and then provide to our internal divisions to decide what's that best approach.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you about as we kind of head forward. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about a few other priorities and challenges you're facing. My guest today is Carl Mathias, the U.S. Marshals Service's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent, 1 in 260,000. The odds of him having 15 career NASCAR victories, 1 in 1.7 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 68. I'm Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
All of Federal News Radio's exclusive interviews and shows are archived online at federalnewsradio.com. Listen to an interview again or share it with friends. Find it at federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Carl Mathias, the U.S. Marshals Service's Chief Information Officer. So, Carl, before break, we're talking a lot about your priorities, mobile, data, infrastructure changes, cloud. One priority you kind of glossed over in a way is cybersecurity. I know there's always sensitivities around cybersecurity. So let's talk broadly about your kind of philosophy, your goals around cybersecurity. I know number one is to keep your data safe, but if you can go into a little more detail in terms of what that means for you.
from my perspective, let me back this up to the beginning, okay? As I've mentioned, you can tell we're going to be doing some acquisitions over time. It's not just the law, it's my rule that cybersecurity is always part of any acquisition. I mean, that's in the law, but I am firm and unrelenting on this. So let me just make a quick note to any vendor who's listening. Okay, if you don't support strong two-factor authentication, you're not doing me any favors, okay? And that really puts you at a disadvantage for any application or service that we may be looking at, because that's just the way it is now. So, you know, understand that I always look at that. So right up front in the acquisition, we're going to be looking at cybersecurity. So that's one of the things we look at. Other things that, you know, just from a generic sense here, obviously we're not going to dive into details, but authorities to operate within my staff, I tell them, you know, that is not a right that I grant as the DAA. It's a privilege to operate on the network, which means you have to really come in and justify why you should be there. You have to have covered every single base that FISMA requires. You have to, you know, you can't say, well, I'm going to submit a plan of actions and milestones. Here's 40 of them. Don't worry, we'll get them taken care of. And, not to be too much of a smart aleck here, but I'm paid to worry about this. So I do worry, and I reject them when I believe that we haven't done due diligence on that. So as a DAA, the ATO it's a tight process. And so I take it very seriously. The next thing I'd mention is continuous monitoring. This is not just us, but also at the department level, multi-layered defenses. You know, but here at the Marshals, we have a responsibility to be continuously monitoring, so I emphasize those kinds of things. So see, these are some of the generic cybersecurity things that I would say are priorities to me. There's others, obviously. But just, as I said before, number two, and it's a close to service availability, is cybersecurity.
Interesting you say I'm the ATO authority, and it's not a right, it's a privilege. Not a lot of CIOs will at least outwardly, publicly say that. What kind of pushback or what kind of conversations do you have when people bring you a plan and it does have a plan of action milestones with maybe not 40, but 3 or 4, and you look at it and go, I can't let that on my network. I mean, because then the pushback comes, but I got to have it because of XYZ reasons. Give me a little bit of reaction that you get when you kind of have to stand rigid, and we know plenty of reasons why you have to.
Well, first, I should say I'm exaggerating when I say 40. Nobody's brought me one. They know what the reaction would be if they brought me 40. So when that happens, and it has happened here in this office we're doing this interview in, it's tough love. That's the only way I can put it. But, the staff understands I'm serious about this. Those two priorities, service availability and security, they hear it every single staff meeting. They know I'm serious. So when they come in here, they already knew coming in. But, you know, we did have a tough discussion on an ATO that I sent back for more work, and they understood why. So, but it was difficult. There's no question about that.
See, it's that type of thing that CIOs should celebrate. You should go out with other CIOs and celebrate the fact that you have that authority and you exercised it, because I think too many times CIOs at least have the reputation of being you don't understand, it's mission critical, so I have to have it. But the response, and I can only guess what your response was, would be, yeah, but if your mission goes down because you have a cyber breach, what's that do to your mission? So I guess you got to explain to the people the give and take. And obviously with the OPM breach, that makes things a little easier now, I can only imagine. Let's move on to workforce, because that's an area where I know that not only is it a challenge for cyber, but many other goals and skill sets that agencies are trying to match. How are you guys doing in terms of IT workforce, whether it's hiring, retention, or training?
Well, I'll be honest. It's been difficult to hire in federal government employees with the skill sets I'm looking for from a program management perspective. This has been my greatest challenge. We're looking for people who are not only good program managers, who really understand, the concepts of cost, schedule, performance, and all the indicators and measures, and understand the federal government's, how you have to do that in the federal government, because let's face it, budgeting in the federal government is not like it is in industry, and you have to have a understanding. So you get somebody who's great at program management, but they may not have those technical skills and that technical background you need to, you know, so that they understand what they're shepherding through. Or you get the opposite effect of, I get somebody who's very technically gifted who applies, but very weak on the program management side. And so when we find that person with both skills, it is suddenly a hyper-competitive environment amongst the agencies of the federal government to get that person in here. And I've had cases where we had them clear up to where they had a report date, and then they got a better offer, and off they went to take a better offer. So it's been a challenge. And fortunately, retention has been good, but it has been a challenge to get people in.
You got to find people like yourself who grew up in the West and idolized the Marshall Service and thought it would be the coolest thing to work for the Marshall Service. Obviously, when it comes to recruiting, retention, hiring, I think that's a challenge for every CIO. So I guess it's something that everyone continues to work at, and hopefully if the budget clears up in some ways, things will get easier. Speaking of budget, one of the things that the Marshall Service highlighted was back in 2013 was a savings of about $1.4 million for better utilizing IT. Talk about those efficiency efforts. I know it was before you came here, but you know, every CIO, I think, is also worried about efficiency and finding money and moving. We'll use the O&M to DME terms. Talk about how what you guys are doing from an efficiency standpoint.
I've asked my staff to kind of take a look back and see what we've done before and what we can continue to do going forward. I can tell you, to the credit of my predecessors here, they've done several activities that really helped out. One of the things that we've done is we reevaluated our IT service contract, restructured that to, because basically we were buying a lot of services that weren't required, and so they were able to save $2.2 million doing that. The other thing we did was when we recompeted our infrastructure support contract, we carefully crafted the statement of work on that to be much more specific about what we needed and what we didn't need, which allowed the vendors to basically not have to overprice on talent they didn't necessarily need to be giving us. And that combined with, frankly, a hyper-competitive environment for them to come in on these contracts saved $500,000 per year. So that was another way they saved money. Big thing that's really helped us out that we continue to do here is evaluating our telecommunications needs. One of the things organizations do over time, I found this at the Pentagon, we saved a lot of money there doing the same activity, is to go through and find your deadlines. Okay, it's as simple as that. Over time, organizations will change, people will shift, and you forget to turn off that phone line. Well, that phone line, you know, that's about $31 a month, and so you want to get rid of those. And so they went and did a very comprehensive analysis within the districts, got rid of a lot of phone lines, redid some contracts to make them more efficient, and ended up saving $1.3 million over the last couple of years. We're doing that same thing right now here in the National Capital Region, and we're finding a lot of lines we can eliminate, better contracts that we can go to. And also, as part of another major effort we're undergoing, we're looking at going to VoIP and trying to get some efficiencies there.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Sounds like there's a lot to follow up on, lots to catch up on, so we'll have you back on the show. My guest today was Carl Mathias, the U.S. Marshal Service's Assistant Director for IT and Chief Information Officer. Carl, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
I'm Jason Miller, and you've been listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.